Welcome to the conference committee of Senate Bill 50. Senator Williams, you wanted to raise the limit to $7,000, is that correct?
I thought that was your motion, Mr. Chairman.
Yeah, Mr. Chair, I thought it was more the biblical injunction, seven times $7,000.
Senator Williams, all right, Senator.
The worst part is that Mr. Bo wasn't paying attention, and so the whole thing was lost for a fact. Yeah, Lana reacted, but Brian missed the whole gas.
It's a sunny night chasing the speed again.
The motion to raise it to $7,000, Dan, you were completely absent at first, so.
No.
The reason we're here relates to the attorney's fee portion of it, and we've been handed a revised statement, which is a fiscal statement, which is a little confusing to me. Yeah. Is the Department of Transportation saying they anticipate losing 504 cases at $600 per case for $280,000? Because they have no reasonable basis in fact or law for issuing the order? Is anyone from the DMV here?
Anybody from the Department of Transportation?
Not now.
I saw Ms. Krimikin out in the hallway.
She'd be real happy with this statement. And the DEQ thinks they'll lose 10 cases, and it'll cost them $32,000 per case, because the judge will find they have no reasonable basis in fact or in law for issuing the order.
I guess, Mr. Chair.
Yes.
My question is, why are they issuing so many orders that are questionable?
Well, you can have some where there's a good faith question, but to say there's no reasonable basis in law or fact, I mean, that is, it obviously shouldn't have been issued.
Mr. Chairman, perhaps the Governor's Council might come forward and be responsive to questions on this issue.
For the record, my name is Chip Lazenby. I'm legal counsel to the Governor John Cooper. I appear occasionally in your document, Henry H. Lazenby, Jr. as well.
And in the Oregonian.
And in the Oregonian.
Again? No. This is with your photo.
In the walls of the corner.
Oh, yeah. All right. My satellite is a model for advertising.
The Portland Airport?
Yeah.
In full concourse.
Concourse D. Session has gone on too long. Sure. I have prepared some testimony for this committee, and
just a moment. I was just thinking, I walk down the concourse because I usually have to go Alaska to Horizon, and it has all the athletes on the wall there.
And that poor senator.
Athletic Hall of Fame.
You know, you never have to play hoop with me. You've got me for years, Senator.
Point guard.
That's correct.
St. Gordon's a great place.
No, the NBA program at Portland State.
Did you have to stop and read the ad?
No.
Is it a wanted poster?
It could be. Depends on whose eyes you're looking at.
Oh, the correspondent law degree.
It's been a long session.
Well, we're anxious to hear your testimony. Please proceed.
I think part of the confusion that the chair pointed out to the committee a while ago is inherent in why the House amendments to this bill should be removed. I think the agencies in reviewing this are looking not only at a potential award of attorney's fees, albeit under a standard that, as I pointed out in my testimony, is not exactly clear what no reasonable basis in fact or law for bringing means. But the fact that all the agencies are anticipating that there will be increased litigation costs when you dangle attorney fees out there as a likelihood or a possibility. Many people, when faced with an enforcement action by a government agency, feel that there's no reasonable basis in fact or law for the agency to proceed the way they are, but let me suggest to the committee that you are aware that there are a number of reasons why an agency might pursue a specific enforcement action against a citizen or against an entity. It could be that the law is unclear. It could be that the fact situations presented are difficult for the agency to make a determination whether they actually fit into their rules, and that what they really need to have is a test case in order to have a court make that determination. There could be opportunities for people to continue to challenge this, and I just suggest that the provision of attorney's fees will lead to increased litigation. The concerns that we have, as I've outlined in my written testimony, really fall into that category. There's an unknown fiscal for all of the state agencies that are involved in this. It promotes litigation rather than alternative dispute resolution of issues. And in certain circumstances, with meeting the smaller agencies, where they're faced with a formidable or a well-heeled entity out there, it could be forcing to choose between protecting a portion of their budget against an attack or a call for attorney's fees and prosecuting a rather complex case and enforcing the law. Representative Cheverly, who's among your members, and I just spent close to 2 years looking at contested case process, which is in the second, which is on, it was also part of the House Amendment that would add case hearings under ORS 183.310 to 550. We discovered that there are a significant number of these hearings that occur every year. We carved out some of them into a pilot program, which you've seen in House Bill 2525. The fiscal impact that we crafted and put in the governor's budget for House Bill 2525 was based upon consistent experience continuing over into the next biennium. The introduction of these people into administrative law proceedings, I think, could skew not only the fiscal there, but also some of the other results that we're looking for in that bill, in my opinion. So I'd be happy to answer any questions that you have. I've outlined basically our issues on Senate Bill 50. I think the original purpose of the bill was a good one, which was to raise the prayer amount for which mandatory attorney's fees would have to be considered by the court for smaller cases that are brought into court. I think that's important to ensure that citizens do have access to courts for settlement of their differences.
Questions?
Yeah, Mr. Chairman.
Yes, sir. The Bush.
I had this conversation earlier today with Mr. DeLuca from the director at OSHA. But we were talking about the very standard that's set forth here, the standard that says that the agency did not have a reasonable basis in fact or law for issuing the order that is subject to the hearing. And I compared it to language that applies to essentially all attorneys in claims under ORS 2105 that essentially talks about where a attorney's fees will be awarded in a situation where there was no objectively reasonable basis for asserting a claim, defense, or ground for appeal. And then I looked and I saw at least a handful of cases in the annotations where the courts have actually, provided some interpretation of what it means to have no reasonable basis for asserting, no objectively reasonable basis for asserting the claim, defense, or ground for appeal. And so I guess I just pose the question to you, Mr. Lazenby. What is it about this standard that you find so undefinable for a determination to be made that, in fact, that action, which frankly I don't think happens very often, even under these cases, that I've looked at in the annotations, where someone has actually taken an action that the court, or in this case, I guess who would it be, in the contested case proceeding, where it was determined that there was no objective or no reasonable basis in fact or law for issuing the order. What is it about that standard that you find problematic?
Well, I think that if you were to move to the standard in ORS 2105, you might have a better time at quantifying it. But at this point, introducing it at this time, I think what the difficulty is, Representative Williams, is determining what the increase in costs are going to be across state governments, across subject matter, and across the rules and regulations that they have to enforce and enforce through administrative hearings as to whether or not these agencies do push the envelope to try to find out, how they actually can enforce the law. And what is difficult to do at this point in time is to quantify what the additional costs are going to be for these agencies over the next biennium in increased costs. It's litigating only the question of whether or not their decision to move forward and test the law was reasonable or not. And that, I think, will vary by hearings officers. We found that hearings officers have different approaches to the agencies that they do work with, and I don't think that this independent hearings officer, the people that work for them, are going to vary very much in the first 2 years. So you're going to have those prejudices, pro or con, in place. And then, what are the additional costs now that we've given lawyers this new toy of taking the appellate appeal to have the Court of Appeals determine whether or not what the agency did was reasonable or not? So, I mean, I think it's too late and it comes with so little fiscal certainty for us that it becomes very difficult. You could change this bill so that you go away from the no reasonable basis to the standard found in 20.105. But I don't think that you you give us any better handle on what the increased fiscal is going to be as lawyers play with this new toy. I learned that. That was on Thursday in a correspondence course for a financial show.
It came on Wednesday, right?
In your context, yeah.
I might have had a different day. Okay.
Well, because I certainly, if that would have solved your problem, would have been willing to entertain the idea of amending it to change it from did not have a reasonable basis in fact in law to where the agency had no objectively reasonable basis in fact or in law. I think essentially, from my perspective, it probably is the same standard, but if it bought you more comfort, I was more than happy to conform it to the current existing law in 20.105. But what I hear you saying is that from a fiscal standpoint, you don't think it buys you any more comfort.
We don't know what it's going to cost, and you have this provision for people to test this out, to take it up. You may end up resolving that situation in front of DEQ after a great deal of expense around some of these issues. But when you get around to doing it amongst all the agencies that are in DCDS, or am I putting money into the acronym fund here? But as you go along through state government. And as we did over the last couple of years, and look at the vast array of subject matter and agencies and what they actually hear, I think it becomes difficult to quantify how much it's going to cost us overall to deal with that
question.
Sure. Yep, that's very good.
How would it be possible then? I mean, because I heard somebody suggest that perhaps this is something you've got to look at in the interim. But it sounds to me like until we were to actually apply the standard, there would be no method by which we could effectively make a comparison. I mean, frankly, it's the agencies. I'm disappointed to see that the Department of Transportation thinks it will lose 504 cases because they had no reasonable basis in fact or law for issuing the order. And if they think they're going to lose that many cases, it might behoove them to consider the cases that they're pursuing. But how do we find that out? I mean, how do we get to a point where we could essentially move forward with this kind of a standard if it's always going to be an impossible thing to quantify?
Well, Senator Bryan and I certainly have been having this conversation for about 4 years informally in the context of a variety of litigation, Senate Bill 961. This time you and I probably had conversations surrounding the whole notion of basically taxpayer dollars to pay lawyers to sue the government. And being argumentative about what the notion is. Some people call it, loser pays if the government does it. But essentially what we're talking about are taxpayers' dollars to pay attorneys to sue the government. We need to figure out if that's the direction that the legislature wants to go in, how we end up striking a balance between the legitimate interest of government in enforcing the laws, often in very unpopular ways because of the way the laws are written, and the ability of people to provide themselves with adequate legal recourse that's there. I haven't seen a proposal yet that I think fairly strikes that balance, but you're right. I think it may be something that we can talk about in the interim and take a look around all the policy options and implications that are out there if we start moving to a system like that and figure out how much taxpayer dollars we're going to devote to pay lawyers to sue us. I mean, that we let's come back and figure out whether that's what we really want to do with our knowledge.
I got to insert this a little. My recollection of the proposal was not a proposal where you pay someone to sue the government with taxpayer dollars. My recollection of the proposal was a proposal where once the government had sued an individual in an enforcement action, they might recover their fees were they to lose if the suit. And I think that's a strong distinction that I would make between
what Mr. Chairman described. And Mr. Chair, if I may, I think the principles will still apply. And I think agencies come in all sizes, and they do a variety of different types of enforcement. They have a variety of different budgets. It's easily foreseeable in a number of different agencies' circumstances where they're faced with a case that is significant but complicated, and you're going to put that agency in a position where they're going to have to take a look at their budget to decide first whether they're going to protect their budget or whether they're going to enforce the law. That's one of the policy questions, I think, that deserves a longer and probably more philosophical approach to this. But I mean, do we want people who have the means to overpower a smaller or medium-sized agency, much as I'm doing now, to escape the application of the law simply because they can overpower the agency with the threat of attorney's fees that might bust their budget? That doesn't seem to me to be a public policy choice, but we could go down that road.
Representative Ball.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Okay, I understand the concern, especially if you use these figures, that this could eat substantially into an agency's budget. But I actually have some problem with the figures, and let me ask you a question. For example, the Department of Consumer and Business Affairs reports they lose about 20 of their appealed orders, but the standard isn't the same that they lose them on, correct?
Yes, I don't have what you have in front of you, Representative Burke.
Well, I'm reading the fiscal, and so okay. They're arriving at what they're going to have to pay out. Well, I don't think it's a valid comparison for the department to say they now lose 20 about each biennium for their appealed orders and say they lose that many under this standard, because that's not the same standard. And I know I haven't seen specific statistics, but where you're allowed attorney's fees under the standard that Representative and also frivolous lawsuits, the court's very reluctant to find that standard actually has been met, because it's pretty hard to say there isn't. I mean, attorneys can always argue a question from all sides and say that there's nothing there in law and fact. And so that's why I'm having trouble with the fiscal period. If I thought in like Department of Transportation and somebody else was quoted as thinking it would be 600 gallons when I saw someplace else, that given the standard, that's really going to be the accurate, even close to the accurate fiscal. If they're looking at what happens now, those the standards are different. And the other concern I have is the department's even considering to bring a case that had no actual foundation in law or fact. Because said most attorneys can find something that will satisfy that there was something there in law and fact. So it didn't need to have to be just a real blatant type of thing. I mean, shouldn't we bring it? So I guess I'm having some problems with how you're looking at it, and perhaps you can clarify it a little more now that you know my problem.
I think that if your perceptions and interpretations are correct, that should be pursued. The point that I made was that, and it dovetails exactly with what you said in the first part of your statement, lawyers can raise those issues. My point is they will. And that what's unquantifiable here are how much increased cost are we going to have as lawyers play with this new toy, as they raise this issue, and the agencies have to pay the Department of Justice to defend them against the allegation that what they did in this particular case or the next particular case is without a factual or legal basis, and then defend it once more on appeal against those well-heeled litigants that might want to take it that far. That may not be addressed directly in this fiscal analysis that was handed to me that you were referring to, but it's at the heart of the unknown fiscal that I pointed out in my written testimony. And we don't know what impact this is going to have on the agencies, but I can guarantee as a lawyer for 17 years that, especially if there are fees that are involved in it, people will try this bobble out because there's no downside to them trying.
Thank you.
Sure. This is an enlightening and even entertaining discussion, but I guess my concern is that we have in front of us a fiscal impact statements that would seem to indicate a way we need to look at this if we're going to pursue this. Plus, we have a letter from the governor, Mr. Lazenby, brings us your testimony away that suggests in, I think you said in the telephone conference yesterday, a long, hard look at this thing, and I think I know what that suggests. And I'm mindful of the fact that this issue of attorney fees in state actions will likely be revisited in whatever new iteration of 961 is moved now through the Rules Committee, and I'm wondering if that isn't a better place for the discussion, especially in light of the fact that we have the central part of the bill here being the amendment to ORS 20.080 that I know is near and dear to the heart of the bar and to the insurance lobby that negotiated this thing through the session. I guess, Mr. Chair, if you're just looking for an indication of where we're going on this thing, I think rather than use Senate Bill 50 as the last stand to argue out the issue of the attorney fees and agency enforcement proceedings, be it administrative or otherwise, my inclination might be not to make this the last stand but to recede from those if that's what it's going to take to get 50 through at this late hour of the session.
Thank you. One other question, and this can be something contemplated in the other bill in front of Rules, but ORS 183.497 provides that a petitioner can recover attorney fees, and in this case, it softens the language a bit when it says if the agency acted without a reasonable basis in fact or in law, but the court may withhold all or part of the attorney's fees if the state agency has proved its action was substantially justified or the special circumstances exist. And by that, this might alleviate your concern it's a gray area or it's a new case or something like that. Now, that's currently allowed. Apparently, if someone is the petitioner against the state, and this looks like it comes from the contested case proceeding, 183. And so that's a standard that you have now that applies in one circumstance. What would your feeling be if that sort of language were used and it related to whether or not you were the petitioner against the state or some action was brought against you by the state?
No, I think, Senator, that where I am, based upon the conversations I've had with agencies over the last couple of days, the emails I've taken a look at in the last day or so as this bill has surfaced with these amendments, really, is that I'm right back to where Rick Smith and Shetley and I were at the end of last session, and that the agency's feeling largely is, well, if it ain't broke, don't fix it, or if you think it's broken, don't just fix it in anyone's way. I mean, I think the suggestion that we may want to take a look at that and see what the larger impact of this is going to be is something that we need to do. If short answer is I don't think it will mollify our opposition to it.
Mr. Chair?
Yes.
But to look at it in the interim, I don't think it's still going to resolve the issue because it is a gray area. And so I'm just trying to sit there and think through this. I think the language that we here discussed gives some comfort. Plus, if you also added on there a sunset of that provision only for 2 years, so you can come back and look at what has actually happened, it would actually give you some data. I mean, right now everybody's kind of swimming in this gray area. And I can see merit on both sides of this, and perhaps we need some kind of program out there to see what actually happens.
Why don't we do this? We'll adjourn for today, and let's take a look to see if this issue can be raised in our other bill, Senate Bill 961. Where is that, Representative Williams?
Mr. Chairman, I believe Senate Bill 961 rests in peace. In the House Judiciary Committee just in. I would suggest that there is discussion about using some of the vehicle
on a rules committee to which I no longer belong. And whether or not something happens as a result of that, I could not give you any comfort at this time, Mr. Chairman.
Well, two things I'd like to see happen is a continuation of the discussion, because I think if we don't push something, nothing will happen. And I'm real curious about the amended fiscal statement, because the one we had June 4th had no impact. Mm-hmm. And now one that's 25 days later totals in excess of $600,000-$700,000. And I think we're all concerned about that many orders being, or actions being taken without a reasonable basis. So I'd like to explore that a little more too. Now, I don't want to jeopardize the bill, and I talked to Representative Kropp, and he's understanding about that portion of it. But before we give up entirely, why don't we check the dust in and see what other might be available. And I'd like someone from the Department of Transportation and OSHA, DC, just to give me an explanation of how they came up with their figures and why they would be filed without any cases.
Good.
All right. Other questions? Thank you.
We are.